this morning's sermon, rulers know of God's sovereignty. Rulers know of God's sovereignty. I think if we go rule one day with Christ, we're to be judges, judge the world, and we're to reign as priest of God, we should know of the sovereignty of that God that we serve. That all of us, Lord God, that we know God. So, if we're going to be that, and anyone that sees the sovereignty of God, our reading scripture, you remember our reading scripture that came from John, the 19th chapter and the 10th verse, then said Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify you and have power to release thee? He had the problem there, maybe not to the degree as Isaiah had, that we were in the book of Isaiah talking about him and what God did to him, because he knew God. Isaiah was a good man. He did a lot for God, and God did a lot through Isaiah, but he was lifted up by pride. And here, Pilate is on that precipice of that. But we see in Isaiah, the 6th chapter, the first verse says, in a year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And I said, every time we get a glimpse of God, if we get a glimpse of God, we end up seeing our lack, seeing our sin, seeing how far short we fall. Normally it leads to a conversion. It leads to, that's what I prayed in the opening prayer, that seeing his sovereignty, that gives us the desire to serve him. And we see after Isaiah saw this, he asked the Lord to send him. The Lord had purged him and cleansed him of all his sins. But we see where this didn't happen with Herod. Herod had a problem just as the devils did in the book of James, where it says, the devils believe that there is one God, and tremble. But see, even though they know the sovereignty of God, they don't do the will of God. They're not doing the will of God. They're not. And one day every knees go bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. But it's not that everyone will be saved. There'll be forced confessions. Those aren't saved people, but they'll acknowledge his lordship, his sovereignty. And to say all rulers, if we look through history, all the rulers and everything know the sovereignty of God, know the power of God. And that word sovereignty means supreme ruler, supreme over an area, and have all power and jurisdiction in that area, that they're the authority in that. This week, what's been in the news, there was a drone shot down in Iran by the Iran's Supreme National Guard, or what they call it, parliament, whatever they call that. But the Ayatollah Khomeini there is the supreme ruler. And their claim was that it violated the airspace of Iran, and that the sovereignty of Iran, that by that authority, they shot down that plane. Our president was reluctant. He was saying maybe it was some stupid general or something happened. And the guy said, no, the prime minister said, no, we shot it down because it violated the sovereign territory of Iran. And, you know, once we come to realize that, like I say, when we see the sovereignty of God, even rulers acknowledge who he is and that they're trespassing him. And that's what gives us the fear of God. As Peter the fisherman, when he was fishing and he realized it was Jesus on the shore, he pulled off his clothes, he had came and he said, Lord, I'm unworthy, depart from me. Isaiah said he was undone, he was woefully undone because he seen God. He said he was unclean. once we accept Jesus as Lord of our lives, our body is no longer ours. All our will, all our desires belong to Him. He's the supreme rule of our lives. He's over that. He has jurisdiction of our lives. But we see here in the book of John, 18th chapter, through the 19th chapter in the 21st verse, where Jesus was delivered to the ruler of that area. Pilate was the governor, he was the prefect of that area, and they delivered Jesus up to be crucified to Pilate because they didn't have the authority. In other words, they wasn't a sovereign nation at that time. They were under Roman rule. They were under Roman rule, and they was envious of Jesus, and their lives was backwards. And God had been preaching and talking to them for years. Ever since the beginning, God had been talking. And we realize a lot of time God's been talking with us, and we struggle with God, especially if we love the world. You know, it was demons who loved this present world, not the ground itself, but the present world, the age. And a lot of times our children look like they struggle against us if we're trying to stand for holiness, what's a right or whatever, because their flesh yearns to serve the world, but they resent the parental authority because it shines a light upon them. It's kind of like Cain and Abel. The righteousness of Abel was the reason Cain slew Abel, because his righteousness outshined. In other words, once you shine a light on darkness, and that's what holiness does. Holiness is purity. Jesus Christ says, I'm the way, I'm the light, and the truth. And no man coming unto the Father but by me. And he was a light unto the Gentiles. That's why when we see the sovereignty of God, we begin to shine our light in the world. He says, let that light so shine that men would see that light and give God the glory. But first we look at the hypocrisy of people that know God or should know of God, but their flesh has them blinded to God, even though they talk about the things of God. We see here that they were willing to lie, commit murder, but they was afraid of being defiled by going into a Gentile court, of being in the house of a Gentile. They stood outside the praetorium when they brought Jesus before Pilate, because it was the week of the Passover feast, and they didn't want to be defiled from their religious ceremonies. You know, and that's the way a lot of us in this nation, that's the way a lot of us in the churches and things, we strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. The rest of our lives, we hunt down abortionists, we hunt down homosexuals and all these other things, but our lives are total wrecks. You know, we want to commit violence right now. It's a lot within this country who want to go to war with Iran. They don't know what was true or not, whether they were spying on Iran and got a little bit too close and jeopardized themselves, and Iran shot it down. We see the cautiousness of our president in this or whatever. But listen at these people. Now, these were the high priests. These were the upper echelon. Usually a rebel, a bunch of people that's making a lot of noise, just a few people could inspire many. You notice a lot of times when they speak, they say, well, the church says, or the nation says, or the people say. What people? How many in the church is saying, you know, because a empty wagon makes the most noise in there. A lot of people that's hollering and complaining or whatever, well, they're in a minority. A lot of times the president or a political leader may come up and say, the people says. Well, he's only talking about maybe a small amount, you know, plus because we know this leader wasn't elected by the majority of the people. Well, listen at this. It says, then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium. That's the governor's palace. Now it was early, and the Jews did not enter the praetorium so that they would not be ceremonially unclean and might not be able to eat the Passover and participate in the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover Supper. Jesus' arrest occurred after he and his disciples had eaten the Passover that night. You remember, they had eaten the Passover that night, and he had went out into the garden to pray. So the Passover, that portion, but the Passover lasted a whole week. That feast lasted a whole 7 days. Now, here we can see some of the hypocrisy of the church, of the people, of the religious people. Now, they wanted to stay clean, but they had lied on Jesus and delivered him up to be crucified. And man, what are we doing as a church? Are we holding to God's laws and walking by faith while still doing things wrong? Because if we serve a sovereign God, he's over every area of our lives, even those areas where we violated and think that that's sacred, that he doesn't see in those areas. Here's one of the church errors here, and where there's a lot of hypocrisy lie. It says, Easter, the sunrise service, and the Friday crucifixion. If we look at John 19th chapter, the 14th and the 31st verse, it says, and it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said unto the Jews, behold your king. He was before Pilate, and that's what John says. Now, John is given to details. Unlike the rest of the gospel, notice that John is given to a whole lot of detail. And he doesn't say everything, but this is one episode that he focused in on that was in the rest of the gospels. The other three gospels, they call the synoptic gospels because they kind of follow a lot of the same thing, a lot of the material about the same. But here John focuses in, and this is on some of them, but he's extremely cautious and he gives us a lot of detail. He said, and it was the preparation of the Passover at about the sixth hour, and he says, behold, your king. This is Pilate. He's giving him up. Now, it says, it was the preparation of the Passover, and it was the sixth hour, so it was after that, it was that night Jesus had eaten or whatever. And that next morning, they had the court that night, but that morning when they brought him before Pilate, and Pilate met with him, and that's when Pilate brought him out to scourge him and to deliver him up to be crucified. John indicates that this was a preparation day before the Passover feast. This probably is why Matthew did not use the term Sabbath here. If you notice in his gospel, he writes, it was the day of preparation. And in the modern Greek language, in that language, the word for Passover is translated as Friday. Instead of using Sabbath that, though, he used the word preparation. But that was a high Sabbath. Look at Mark 15. Mark 15, I think it is, and 31. Well, no, hold on. Let's just hold it right there. This is what Matthew says. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath. Okay, so that's why I say it was a day of preparation and they crucified him. So the church has it that he rose on the Sabbath, right? That he rose that Sunday, if they call that the Sabbath. But listen to what Matthew says. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath day was an high Sabbath. In other words, it fell on a Thursday that year, the crucifixion prior on that Wednesday, because Jesus said he was going to be in the grave 3 days and three nights. And so if they crucified him on a Wednesday, and it was Thursday would have been that high Sabbath, that Wednesday would have been day of preparation, and that Thursday would have been that high Sabbath. For besought Pilate that they break his leg that he might be taken away, but he was already dead. Now, from the sixth hour, if Pilate did this, it says from the sixth hour till the ninth hour, and it means from noon until 3 p.m., he was on the cross, right? And it says, Mark, now, let's harmonize these Gospels. Mark, the 15th chapter and the 25th verse adds, it was the third hour and they crucified him. Now, John Mark was the disciples that they say, you know, scholars and things say a lot of the text, everything, the other two Gospels, Matthew and Luke, took a lot of their materials from Mark, that Mark Gospel appeared first. That's not the issue here. Mark said it was the third hour when they took Jesus away to crucify him, and we know John Mark was there. That's the one that had ran ahead of Peter, and Mark had influence, and he was in the praetorium. He was there when they took Jesus to crucify, and Peter came in along with him. You remember, Peter denied the Lord at that time. And they took him out, and they took him to the praetorium. So John Mark was there, but he says it was the third hour, which was about 9 o'clock when they put him on the cross. But from the sixth hour, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, let me keep this straight now so you can go and see. From about the sixth hour, he said, "Behold your king," which the darkness that was there, you remember it was dark from the sixth hour till about 3 that day. It said darkness fell upon the earth while he was on the cross. The darkness was evidently a supernatural darkness, since an eclipse of the sun at full noon would have been impossible. So they had, when darkness went over the earth, that's when God's wrath had fell up on Christ, when he says, "Lama Lasab," I'm getting tongue-tied this morning, but that's when he cried out and gave up the ghost. He says, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" But we know darkness came upon the earth. The veil of the temple was rent. So here's God at work. He's consistently working because God's in charge at this time. He's aligning all of the signs. All of these signs and things was because everybody, even pagan kings, pagan people, have to work through what God ordains. That's why he says, "I create light, I form darkness, I create evil." He do all things. That's the sovereignty of God. God's sovereignty is my second point here. It was his determinate counsel that made all the death of Jesus necessary. We read in the book of Matthew, the 28th chapter, and the 29th through the 32nd verse. It says, "So Pilate came out to them and asked, 'What accusation do you have against this man?' And they answered, 'If he were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you for judgment.' Then Pilate said to them, 'Well, you take him and judge him yourselves. Judge him according to your own laws.' The Jews said, 'Well, we are not permitted to put anyone to death.' And this was to fulfill the word of God, which Jesus had spoken to indicate what manner of death he was going to die." So Jesus had said he was going to lay down his life to die. The Jews, not being a sovereign power at that time, they didn't have the power, like they said, that he was supposed to die according to their law. But by Roman law, he didn't do anything that should bring about death. But by God's sovereignty, Jesus had said this was the way he was going to go. He was going to die. Wouldn't a bone be broken? But if the Jews would have stoned him, it wouldn't have been a crucifixion. He wouldn't have been dying for the whole world in the way God said he was. So everything we do has to line up with the word of God. Everything. Everything in your life, when you start seeing that God is in charge of everything, that's when you want him to become your Lord and Master, because nobody else can do anything, as Jesus was under the authority of God. And that's why he told Pilate, Pilate said, "Do you know how I have power over you to crucify you?" And he says, "No, you wouldn't have power over me unless it had been given to you above." That's when you break away from the bondage of this world. In other words, your spouse don't have bondage over you, your children, your parents. No one, only God has control. Your body belongs to God. No one has that authority. God, Jesus Christ, died to set you free. This is what this death was about, so that he would be the Lord of your life. When he becomes the Lord of your life, that's why Isaiah said, "Send me, Lord," because now you wouldn't carry the fear of man, because you don't fear what man would do to you, because you know who's your, who you work for, who had given you this authority to do what you're doing. That's why when you have authority to do something, a parent doesn't go around explaining things to their children or whatever, because they have a God-given authority, and God says, honor your parent. Now, the parent doesn't have to go through things to make sure that this is followed, whatever, because the parent is looking to God. If that parent's walking according to God's word, they know that what happens or befalls that child comes from them violating God's word about what authority they should have in their lives. That's why we don't abuse that authority, because it's all in God's hand. That's why you don't argue with people and fuss and fight or whatever, because you only doing what God. That's why it's implicit that we follow the word, the letter of the law, walking by faith, and we do what God had commanded us to do. And whatever people don't do after we've been told them what God says, after we preach the word, teach the word, it's between God to bring that judgment. God brings whatever judgment he wants. We don't know what happened to Pilate after this. I can tell you about secular legends and things what happened after this. But it says, let's read this book portion here out of the book of John. It says, men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus of Nazareth, this is the book of Acts, the second chapter of Acts, and the 22nd, 23rd verse. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man accredited and pointed out and attested to you by God with the power to perform miracles and wonders and signs which God worked through him in your very midst, just as you yourselves know, this man, when handed over to the Roman authorities, according to the predetermined counsel of God. It was God's decision and the foreknowledge of God that they nailed him to the cross. Now, the Jews, in effect, had greater sin now. That's why us in the church, that's why us as a nation, we sin the greater sin if we know what God's word say, and we go along with lying leadership. We go along with hypocrisy in the church. We're not standing up for right, because to him to know that that is sin and know to do right, it's you will receive a greater punishment. These people, the signs had been wrought among them. God, Jesus Christ worked all this signs and wonders and miracles. They had seen him feed these people. They had been amongst those that he healed and everything. Some that attributed to Satan, those that were lying and speaking against the Holy Ghost, that's blasphemy. But then if you somewhere knowing a person is a man of God and you work against that person and connive against that person and try to bring that person down, if you have a godly spouse or godly parents or godly children, a godly person on your job or a person you know you work against, your sin is greater now. See, these people's sin was greater than Pilate's sin. Pilate didn't know anything about Jesus. This wasn't about Pilate, but Pilate had put himself in a position of authority. We have to watch what positions we place ourselves in, because now he's going to have to carry this out. Listen at what the chief priest did. These are the preachers and things. That's why I say, as a nation, we have right now, it's a lot of our preachers and evangelists and people speak out for this leadership that we have, that speak out about things going in the nation. Now, this is very dangerous. The church has to be aware of this when you get into politics and things. Then gathered the chief priest and Pharisees and the council. This is from John 11, chapter the 47th through the 52nd verse. And said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish it not. And this spake he, not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one children in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient for one man to die. You know what he was, that prophecy, that which he was speaking, God caused him, put those words in his mouth, which were correct. That was a prophecy that Jesus should die for the sins of the world, for the sins of all people of God that scattered abroad. So that was to be Jew and Gentile. But listen to these statements he's making, not because he's a follower of Jesus Christ or believed in Jesus Christ. He had a mob there to destroy Jesus. They were trying to kill him because of the miracles he was doing. Remember, they tried to kill Lazarus because Lazarus was with Jesus and knew of Jesus, what Jesus was doing. And that he was a living example that Jesus has raised the dead, so they wanted to kill Lazarus too. See, some people are after the wrong things or whatever, but notice that how God uses people to carry out his will. He uses wicked kings. He uses your enemy. That's what I say. He could use anything to bring forth his will. He's sovereign, and he rules all. Those that are even not his, because all belongs to God. That's his territory. Pilate wrote exactly what he perceived was right. Because with talking to Jesus, he knew the sovereignty. He knew who Jesus was. He says, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Pilate says, Jesus says, "Thou sayest." So when Pilate wrote a towel and put it on the cross, in the writing he wrote on there, "Jesus of Nazareth, the king of the Jews." And the Jews said, "No, don't write that. Write that he said he was the king of the Jews." Pilate says, "What I've written." Because he knew who Jesus was. He understood it. But like I said, not because he believed in Jesus and wanted to follow Jesus, but that he saw the sovereignty of God. We all will behold that, the sovereignty of God. Every knee shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Now, he was warned of his wife. His wife, whether she had this dream, she said she had a nightmare. So to her, it wasn't a good dream. That it was terrifying. I don't know if this women's vision or was it a dream. That's why I say, I can't explain dreams. Only God, Daniel and Joseph say, God is the only one that can interpret a dream. Now, whether he listened at his wife a whole lot or not, she sent some soldiers to him, and says when he had sat down on the judgment seat, his wife had sent unto him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." The other one, the Amplified Version says, "Have nothing to do with that righteous and innocent man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him." Now here's a pagan king's wife telling him, "Hey, don't get involved with this. Have nothing to do with this." Now, water can't wash blood off your hands. He tried to wash away this. He says, "Away with him." He says, "Y'all crucify me, y'all." But they didn't have the power to do that. The power lied in his hand. See, right now, our president said he's going to have a measured response. And, you know, if you read the news, you have to go ahead and read. I don't want to go into too much politics and things here. But it doesn't seem his nature to be patient and take measured responses. He said he didn't want to respond the way that he was going to respond because it would kill 150 innocent people or whatever. That really doesn't sound like him. But it sounds like they realizing, hey, now I've been goaded into this position. Just like Pilate was goaded into a position, I don't have to do something. The people are saying something, and the people want blood. See, Pilate tried to scourge Jesus and let him go. Now he says, they're going to retaliate, they're going to do some baby sanctions or this and that. Well, Pilate scourged Jesus. He was trying to get out of crucified. He said, "I find no fault with it." Well, that's what our leader was saying. He said, "Look, I don't think Iran did this. I think it was some stupid general or somebody else." He said, "No, we did it." In other words, sovereignty doesn't apologize. when they came and asked Jesus, by what authority you do this? Jesus didn't apologize. I'll talk about that in just a second. But we have to know where the power lies. That's why a lot of times people say things or whatever. Some guys, I'm not totally listening at you. I can't commit myself to this on you because the power don't lie there. Now, if your wife tell me that or something, okay, I don't believe it because I know who's really in charge there. You can say this and say that and then go back and she said, no, you ain't either. And then you will come back to me back and now trying to change that or whatever. So you have to know where the power and authority lies at. Josiah, he was a godly king, right? Now, listen at this. God told him he could go to his grave in peace. But what happened was he went and tried to intervene in Egypt fighting with Assyria because of Babylon. The king at that battle of Carchemish, the king said, look, Josiah, don't get in here. The Lord told me to do this. Now, this is a pagan king saying God had told him to do this. Don't intervene. This is the most godly, law-abiding king that Judah had up to that time. He established and he did more than any of them. But he said, don't intervene. God told me to do this. This is a pagan now. And he kills Josiah. See, so you better make sure God's on your side, even though you're a child of God. This ungodly king killed Josiah because God had told him to do exactly what he had told him to do. Both Pharaoh and Abimelech. God spoke to them. See, the sovereign, they know who's running things. It's good to know who's in charge. Abraham was a child of God. He was afraid of his life. But he would rather prostitute his wife out to Pharaoh and Abimelech to save his own hide. But these men said, no, God spoke to me in a dream. Who? The sovereign God. Rulers know who God is. Rulers know. He says, you take your wife and get out of here. I give you all this stuff here. Get out of here because God told me. Did they say Molech told them or whatever? Or what, was it God that appeared and said, that's one of my prophets. Get him out of here. God is the ruler over heaven and earth. There's no equivocation about that. That's no way around that. Once you realize who he is, that he has all authority and power, and he vested that in Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ rose, he said, God had given me all power in heaven and in earth. That would quash the Jehovah's Witnesses now. See, that killed them. Now, they adopted the name of Jesus. Russell couldn't see that years ago when he derived that religion and everybody was saying Jehovah, Jehovah. But hold on now. Now we got a New Testament. Now y'all have to throw the New Testament out to prove, to disprove this because it says God had given him a name above every name and that the name of Jesus and that salvation should be in that name. That's some authority there. That's the invested in him. A name above every name. Now that authority, see, Pilate didn't, when Pilate realized what was going on here, he said, hold the bus now. Nebuchadnezzar, he's a type of the King of Kings, a type and shadow of the Lord of Lords. Nebuchadnezzar was making everybody bow to him. And his God was God. But then, when he threw the three Hebrew boys in, because they knew who God was. They knew who God was. And like I say, when you serve a sovereign God, your life changes because anything I do is a reflection on the church. It's a reflection on God. If you not, see, if you're walking in the way of God in his authority, that authority and power, everybody else lines up behind you. He said, I'll make you the head and not the tail. He's going to give us wealth. He says, you'll lend and not borrow. If we're walking in God's word, we realize by his stripes we were healed. We realize that people can start acquiescing here because of the authority and the power in the word of God. Amen. So the Hebrew boys say, we're not going to bow. We're not going to bend. You throw us in the fire if you want. We know the God that we serve is able to deliver us. Whether he delivers or not, we don't know. We have to serve God by faith, so we don't know what the end result could be. But we're not going to do what you want us to do because that's idolatry. We're not going to forsake God. He threw him in there. Tell me this, did Nebuchadnezzar know God? He had to be. Because it said, then we throw three in there, I see four, and one looks like the Son of God. He had an eye on sovereignty. He said, one looks like the Son of God. How you knew how God looked? How you know how God looked? The sovereignty of God puts the fear of God in God's people. It causes a resistance in the children of the devil because they have those characteristics. If a person's rebellion, if God turns them over, the sword of man to the sword of man, those are evil and wicked people. That's why people have the conscience to kill, because it's been seared. They don't trust, believe anything but themselves. It's for themselves, and they have a fear of man and not a fear of God. See, that was one of Job's problems. He had a little fear in him. Because remember he says, that which I fear hath come upon me. God hadn't given us a spirit of fear. He hadn't given us that spirit. Look at what it says about Pilate. Pilate trembled on several occasions, realizing who Jesus was, just who he was. Now whether our leaders now, we have some that's imbeciles, they're rushing headlong into this matter and not realizing whether God's in it or not. But you need to take a pause. That's what, what's his name? I use his name all the time in the book of Acts. That was a teacher of Paul, and he says, be careful, beware what you do to these men. Because if it's from God, you will find yourself fighting against God. You need to weigh a matter. Everything that's going on, you need to pray to God and ask God, who is this or what's going on in this matter? Don't just follow your own mind or whatever. You need to find out where God is and what's God directed. See, that's what Josiah didn't do. Even though this is evil or wicked, where's God at here? What does God want me to do? John 19:6-11 says, when the chief priests had therefore officers saw him, they cried out saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, take you him and crucify him for yourself, for I don't find any fault in him. Then the Jews answered him. Now, he realized he knew what nothing wrong with Jesus. He didn't find no fault in him. Have you know of people that you don't find anything wrong with? But listen at this. The Jews answered, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. Hold on. He made himself the Son of God? When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was more afraid then, and when he came into the judgment hall, he said unto Jesus, whence art thou? Where you come from? That put fear in him when he said he made himself the Son of God. But Jesus gave him no answer. And Pilate said unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? And Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that had delivered me unto thee had the greater sin. Now, you don't have any power. Now, this was the only thing he said. He wasn't arguing with Pilate because he never did speak with him. But right here, you know, of his arrogance and pride, he didn't say anything. But to clarify this error of who really had power in any ruler or king, know that God set it up kings and rulers. God put it the basest people in charge if he wants to. So, when we see that this guy got elected president, we have to know that this is from God now. We don't know what God's doing. But anybody that's elected leader, believe me, any authority that is an authority, be ordained of God. There's a difference from being ordained of God and being a child of God. There's no power that is that's not ordained of God. That's why when the wicked men come in the book of Jude, it says, these men were ordained to this condemnation. There are people that are authorized to destroy and kill you, to carry out wickedness. God had authorized them to do that. We'll see that later on in Isaiah. Herod had a fear of man, because when they says that this man made himself to be God, what happens, he got afraid then. But then they said, if you let this man go, you're not afraid of Caesar's. Now, he was afraid of Caesar's. Now, Caesar was king over here. Like I said, he was just prefect. He was just a governor of that region. But the Caesar that was in power then was a brutal Caesar. And when he says, you're no friend of Caesar, you let this man go, that struck fear in him. See, but what happens, the book of Proverbs says, and from thenceforth, the fear of man bringeth a snare. That's what Proverbs said. See, because God hadn't given, a lot of times you may be doing something or going to do the right thing to have the right mind to do something. Let your wife stick a lip out. Let your husband raise his voice. Your children go to pout. When somebody look at you with a bad eye or something. When people will go against you. See, right now, the president, he don't know which way to move. See, because what man thinks about what you're doing. See, do you have that fear of God, no matter what man think, no matter what nobody in your family think, that at all costs, I'm going to follow God? So that's what Isaiah, when he volunteered, he says that we have to preach the gospel even though they not want to hear. They're not going to want to hear. They're not going to be converted. But I have to do. I'll go. Send me. He said, now they're going to listen, but they're not going to hear you. They're not going to see. Now, the mission God sends us on sounds kind of like an Ethan Hunt mission. It seemed like a Mission Impossible. But all we do is deliver the mail. What had God says? Once he commissioned, Jesus did what God said. He didn't try to defend himself. Notice that he was silent before Pilate. When he sent him to Herod, he didn't even say one word to Herod. When you got that authority and power, you don't fear man. It was in John 19:12 when they told him and say, "You not if you let this man go, whosoever maketh himself a king, speaking against Caesar." Now, if this man making himself some kind of king, he's against Caesar, and you allow that to go, you have a problem with. He says, "Art thou a king?" He said, "Thou sayest." He says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If I was a king, my servants would fight. If it was of this world." See, so Pilate feels, oh, this is not a political matter. This is some religious dispute from some back road Jews or something. I don't have anything to do with this. Y'all go crucify him yourself or what? But they didn't have that authority, but they used a vice against him. If you let him go or whatever, and he's saying we have a king, they rejected Jesus. They rejected him. The Jews, that's why he said they have a greater sin. Whom had given him authority? You remember in the temple area, the chief priests and the elders came to the people and came to him as he was teaching, said, "By what kind of authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to exercise this power?" When he had cast the money changers and all of them out of the temple or whatever. But then Jesus asked him a question. He says, "The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven, that is, that it was ordained by God, or from men?" And they began debating among themselves, considering the implications of the answers, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, then why did you not believe John? But if we say it was from men, we are afraid of the response of the crowd, for they all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." They was afraid of the crowd. They knew what was right. A lot of them were being baptized of John. Now, where did you get this authority? Who gave you the authority to chase these Pharisees and people out of the temple and do all this? Jesus said, "Well, look, if you answer me this, I'll answer you what you're asking me." Now, by them being afraid of man, they was afraid that if they talk against John, that the people was going to stone. But they was afraid to say that this was ordained of God, because then they would have to believe it if they said it came from God. So they said, well, we don't think we want to answer this. And Jesus said, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. You don't have to go around telling people why God told you to do this or do that. Either you believe it by faith or you don't. A servant of God shouldn't strive. You speak the word. You just go around witnessing and telling the word. But like I say, these people wanted blood. They wanted Jesus' blood. Then answered all the people that said, his blood be on our hands and on our children. Pilate had told them that. They said, well, look, we're not afraid to do that. And that's why Jesus said, now they have a greater sin. They say, his blood be on us and our children. Facing at this from the book of Luke, the 23rd chapter. But Jesus, turning toward them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that have not given birth and the breasts that have never nourished. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, to the hills, cover us. For if they did these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? In other words, you've rejected me. Now, what way out you will have when all hell breaks loose, when calamity come up on the earth? It could be a day coming that you will say you wish you never were born. This blood that's going for years and years, the Jews saying that they've been exterminated, the Holocaust and all these different things happening. Now notice that this is Iran that they're going against. Who is Iran? That's Persia. That's where the Medo-Persia came from. That's where Cyrus came from. Alexander the Great, all those in the area. Russia and China keep saying, don't come over here in the Middle East stirring up no mess. Now, don't bring no more mess over here. Now, the only ones that saying something that they allied with the United States or whatever is this man-made Israel, Netanyahu. Now, like I say, that's not necessarily the Israel of God. See, that's why I say, when you get into religious hypocrisy, if you go back and see when this Israel was formed, that's over there calling themselves Israel, because God says Israel is not outward. Israel is those that were circumcised of the heart. So Israel is not geographical. So just because that little tiny place over there says these things, don't let that drive you into a war, because all of Israel is not Israel. Israel, the circumcision now, is of the heart. Now, notice that the ones that are in the church, that scarlet thread in the book of Joshua, Rahab, this is a harlot, a prostitute, that was saved because what? They shielded the spies. And he said, look, we're going to make you a promise. Anybody, your family and your people, anybody that's into your house, when we come back and destroy all this, we'll save them. It was just like Noah's family, those that believe Noah. If they're inside the house, they're going to be saved. For those people outside, they wasn't saved. If her grandparents or cousins or somebody didn't believe Rahab and was in her, not in her house, they were killed. When they seen that scarlet thread, that was the blood, they were going to pass over them. They wasn't going to kill anyone inside that house. Your blood could be on your own head. This was a harlot. This was a madam that she ran a brothel there. She's in her heritage now, is in the line of Jesus Christ. When we start believing what people say, they seen the sovereignty of God, and they knew in Jericho, the fear of God is up on this nation, because we've heard you're conquering everything. See, the people in this nation don't realize they're not fearing United States. No one fears America, but they fear the God of America. They fear the God of America. So all the people in America may not be Americans, may not be Christian. They may not be God-fearing people. See, the church is universal. That's why Jesus was dying for all the people of God scattered abroad. That's what Caiaphas said. His blood was for Jew and Gentile alike. So it wasn't a geographical people. New Jerusalem that's from above, the sovereign God, he's the ruler of all the earth. Abraham's seed's going to be over the whole earth. It's not just one place, one nation. He says, witness, and he had commissioned us to go into all the nations. China has one of the largest Christian population that's on the rise. So, this commission, when you see God, notice that everybody that sees God goes to work for God, because when the disciples, that people that were following Jesus that had money and stuff on their mind, when Jesus said, you must drink of my blood and eat of my flesh, they said, this is a hard saying, who will follow you? They turned and went away. As a lot of people in the church, like demons, they turn and go the other way, because this is a hard saying, what Jesus said. He asked his disciples, y'all going too? Peter says, Lord, you have the truth. Where else we gonna go? Where can we go except into the body of Christ? And we will go out and preach and teach that. We will go out and preach that. And Jesus, when he entered there, he said about his kingdom. And the kingdom of God is within us. It's among us. We're God's people, and God had given us a commission. So what's the conclusion here? What are we, how we apply this? Knowing that Jesus is Lord of all, are you conducting your life outwardly as though he is the supreme ruler of your whole life, of your body, of everything you do? That your body is no longer your body. Your money is not your money. Your time is not your time. Because it's a redeeming the time, because the day's evil. Does your time belong to God? All you have belong to God? Are you consecrated unto God? You fully dedicated? Are you a hypocrite? Are you saying one thing and doing another, living a different way? Because remember I said, the outward identification, the greater sin is to say you one thing and doing another, in acting or working against Jesus. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, I told you, was a type. And he learned, he says, Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all the nations and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God had wrought toward me. How great of his are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion and generation is forever. That's Nebuchadnezzar. That's what he learned. Nebuchadnezzar, these people that talk about what all the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, did, Nebuchadnezzar wrote the fourth chapter of Daniel. He says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, he glorified the God of heaven, that we should, he said, this matter is by the decree of the righteous and the domain of the Holy One, that knoweth that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and set it up over the beast of men. Huh? He set Nebuchadnezzar, he returned Nebuchadnezzar to his right mind. He had set him up and gave him everything back. You must repent. See, Pilate didn't repent. He didn't turn. He had to carry it out. He was forced into these things. It was part of his job. See, to keep friends with Caesar, to keep in good standing with the people, he had to do these things. Are you willing to lose it all? If you lose your life, you'll save it. Are you willing to give up all to follow Christ? The rich young ruler wasn't willing to do that. See, sometimes you might have to lose your spouse. You might have to lose your children. Your enemies may be those of your own household. You might have to walk a different walk. You have to turn toward God. We don't see why Pilate made this turn. That's why I say, I could talk about the end of his life, but I don't want to go into that second thing, because a lot of them say he committed suicide. Some say that he turned to be a Christian after he left. Same thing with Nicodemus and all these. They said Nicodemus and his daughters, they went into utter ruin in poverty, and he was a Pharisee, because he forsook all to serve. When you see the sovereignty of God, you, how did Joseph Arimathea fare after this thing? Because he lent his tomb for Jesus' burial. He was a very wealthy man. See, sometimes you might have to sacrifice all to be identified with Christ. Are you running yourself ragged for the world, the people of the world, to keep your home together, to keep things the way it is? Maybe God wanting to set you free from this bondage. That's why it's a lot of people that are homeless and everything. They would rather be homeless than to serve the world and the things of the world, the people of the world. Daniel, the 4th chapter, 27 verse, he says, "Wherefore, king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thine sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, and if it be the lengthening of thine tranquility." Sometime you won't do that. Like I said, he didn't do that. His pride got to him. Nebuchadnezzar's pride got to him. But like I say, are you a servant of God? Are you like Nebuchadnezzar? He didn't do what God told him to do, but what did God do? He humbled him. That's why I don't want God to humble me. I want to do like in Chronicles. I want to humble myself and pray. But Nebuchadnezzar said, "Oh, look at this great kingdom, Babylon, what I've built, what I've done." Okay, Nebuchadnezzar, I warn you, didn't I tell you, for 7 years you will eat grass like a beast. Your nails will grow and hair will grow up on your back and everything. He cast him out for 7 years. That's a complete, a full length of time that things came to completion. For 7 years, he was like the dew that fell upon him. He lost all these things because of his pride. Do God have to humble you? See, humble Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar came back, though. He says, "At the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, extol, praise, and honor the King of heaven, all who works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." Is that you? God's ready. Jesus had died to reconcile you back to God. Is he sovereign in your life? Is he Lord of Lords? Is he master of your life? He can give it all back to you that you've lost, that you've strolled through the years and labored and had been humbled by God, if you would look unto him, turn unto him as in repentance. God can put you back. He can make you back whole. Praise and honor the sovereign of the earth. All of the earth, all of the inhabitants of the earth, if we would just glorify God. Heavenly Father,